As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And the Raiders now lead 17-0 at 9:22 to go in the second quarter.
I was already frustrated. We weren't playing at a good enough level that I expected, and it kind of just snapped.
And now the Chiefs will have second down and goal to go. Mahomes takes the snap. In trouble, moves out past Crosby. Fires it late. Kelce at the catch inside the 10. Stiff arms one. Stumbles into the end zone. Touchdown!
Temperature is heating up.
All of a sudden, I go into that mode where I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm just kind of blacking out and going crazy.
I'm here! I'm here! I'm here! I'm here!
Whenever Coach Reed has to grab you and pull you aside, that's when you know you're going a little too far, because he's usually like, let your personality show. And Coach Reed grabbed me and was like, hey, man, we got to calm down.
Everybody working up. Everybody's working.
With that, time's yours.
The Kansas City Chiefs have arrived in St. Joe, or at least they've begun to arrive in St. Joe as training camp begins. And the three of us here, the stars of Netflix's Quarterback, are here to help you break it down. I'm Marcus Mariota, and with Patrick Mahomes and literally Kirk Cousins, this is Time's Ours here on The Athletic. Joshua Briscoe, Nate Taylor, and literally Kirk Cousins. That's the those are the three of us. And I just, there are so many things, guys, I do want to talk to you both about, but nothing. We've talked a tiny bit amongst ourselves about quarterback. It's the only thing I really want to talk about now, because I know something special has happened to all three of us watching that show involving that quarterback from up north.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's great to be with you again. Thank you for joining us. I had a wonderful time away from the job.
Taylor.
I appreciated it. Me and my family thank you for your continued for just your continued support. You know, I am a man of faith. You know this. And one of the most beautiful lessons in life is the ability to change one's perspective. To learn and to grow and to really see yourself become a more mature, well-rounded individual with grace, with dignity. And I'm here today after many years of just seeing this person through a statistical and sometimes comic lens. I am willing to admit here that I think perhaps the biggest winner out of this 8-part documentary is indeed the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings.
There is a place in this world for very Midwestern, very white, very regular dudes, including ones that just so happen to play football and look kind of awkward in shoulder pads for a reason I can't quite figure out.
Mm.
I'm telling you, that is 98% of it. That's 98% of his bad rap. I have never felt more seen than I felt watching that. Like, when she's, oh man, when his wife, this was getting a little stressful. I had to throw in some praise music. I was like, I think I go to church with these people.
I thought, oh, I've met this woman 15 times. I'm related to several of her.
That was so great. I literally, the day before, and I texted this to you guys.
Yes, you did.
Listeners, I'm not making this up.
Yes, you did.
That same day that I'd watched it, or the day before, I was having a really stressful day. So I turned on Come Thou Fount and a few other, and Can It Be, a couple other great classic hymns that I really appreciate and genuinely enjoy. Shut up, Briscoe.
Hey, that's Nate's laughter.
I can't tell Nate to shut up. He's one of the nicest people I know.
It also wasn't Nate's. I just wanted to try to avoid the bullet.
For the love of... Okay. You know what? I'm getting pretty vexed right now, similar to how Kirk Cousins would express it on the sideline. I am a little exercised. I'm a little annoyed, even.
Just watch your language and put it in an earbud. It's fine.
It was an interesting... They really found a great group of guys to just like kind of bounce off one another, because you go from the Cousins family, wholesome. They were having the most Minnesota time of their lives. The drive home in the unbelievable cold and amounts of snow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what we're going to do for fun tonight? We are going to have a fire in our lawn.
This is my favorite.
And sit by it. And Jazz and I are looking at that. We were like, oh, man, that looks great. And we were like, oh, man. But then you would go from that to Mahomes, who he's got a pretty wholesome image overall himself. Apparently, except when he steps onto the field and becomes LeVon. it goes from Kirk to like, you know, I think it's really important, guys, that we understand the need to keep our cool here and just move forward here, all right? And then cuts to Mahomes. Boop, boop, mother, boop. Just, it is the greatest. Where you're like, oh, two different personalities.
I think my favorite sequence was right there in that window. But I believe, if memory serves, we go straight from the scene of, you woke up the wrong mother bleeper. You woke up. Five times through that. It is all of that. It is energy and competitiveness and all of that coming through, and then the next shot opens in the fireplace, and Kirk Cousins just goes, built a nice fire coop. and I had tears in my eyes, man. I don't know what happened after that. I was laughing so hard.
So I've told a lot of people this, you know, when they've asked, when they get an opportunity, and look, it's always a really enjoyable part, because like, you know, my job lends it to where I can try to provide thoughtful answers that are accurate, that I hope are accurate. And of course, people around town, and again, it's really cool when they're just like, what? Hey, by the way, what's Patrick like? And I always go, you know, I've interviewed a lot of athletes, obviously. And I really found a way to condense it all in like one sentence. And the way I usually start is by saying, Patrick Mahomes is the most normal superstar athlete I have ever covered. Because there are parts of him that are of the quality of a Michael Jordan in terms of competitiveness, of a Tom Brady in trying to find the best path towards winning, and then ripping it out of the hands of the other team. But of course, he's very normal. He's not only just intelligent, but he's willing to be generous with his time. He answers questions, I think, with a lot of thoughtfulness behind it. He doesn't forget anything. This man remembers just about everything because he's got a photographic memory, which I've talked to him about before. And you put him in any setting and he can pretty much find comfort and be comfortable in those settings. So I thought the documentary did a really good job of, you know, showing that to, you know, obviously a pretty wide audience. Things that you see on a day-to-day basis in the team's training facility that obviously just aren't on camera. But that, I always felt like, at least watching it, and I haven't even finished all the eight parts, I'm on episode six. But I felt watching that, like, yeah, like this is really who he is. And so from a visual standpoint, that's really cool. And so I don't know if that's surprising to people, but it was surprising to me getting a chance to really see Kirk Cousins in a Barnes & Noble and nobody really acknowledged this man's profession.
There's two things going on there, for what it's worth. One is the fact that it's just Kirk Cousins is not maybe quite as distinctive looking as Patrick Mahomes.
Correct.
But also, you know how you know that Minnesota is full of the most polite people on the planet? It's like, I think that's Kirk Cousins. Wow, you know, he's reading. We probably shouldn't bother.
He's reading in public.
It's like looking at a deer at the zoo. No, you can't pet him. Just look at him.
There he is. Just look at him.
The thing with Mahomes that got me the most, like the competitive thing, I mean, I've written about that twice, that he's just, he clearly is psychotic when it comes to competing. And the whole I'm like that thing is still just the best. That moment was so, that is some of the best trash talk I've ever heard in my life. But my very favorite part, and Jazz watched every episode with me. She really liked it.
I was going to ask you guys if you watched it with the wives, as now all three of us have.
Yeah.
How about that? I kept trying to watch it when I could drink my beer in the garage with my ball and chain. Said I gotta wait till she gets. She actually was like at some point more interested in watching the next episode right away than I was.
Yep, that's how it happens. That's how it happens, okay. Mr. Briscoe.
I'm good.
She was like, if this is what football always looked like, like it's so easy to follow the ball. I'm like,
genuinely.
Well yes, when you
genuinely.
Yeah, Renee liked the soundtrack, like as a indicator of just what was going on, because when Marcus Mariota towards the end, his last game or two somber. Was, you get the somber music, and she goes, "Oh, I bet this is gonna be a bad sequence, or I think it's a bad series." Like, oh, it's about to be a bad rest of the series for Mariota.
Go ahead, Seth.
Just when they shift, it's like, I really thought we could come back. And then you heard the music and you could just like hear the narrator. They would not.
Like, it was reminding me, like, man, the Falcons really could have won the division last year.
Yes!
That is insane.
Yes, it's right there.
It's right there, Marcus. It's right there. And of course, that sort of accentuates how difficult it is to be great in the clutch just about every time. It's available to you in the fourth quarter. Holly, I can't remember if she nudged me on the shoulder while we sat together or if she like tapped me on the leg, on the thigh. And she was like, oh, look at that. He takes every Tuesday off. Can you do that?
Yeah, Kirk Cousins is out here making us every husband in America that doesn't have the opportunity to make his own hours, which, by the way, an NFL quarterback
just being flex.
The coach is like, oh, about Tuesdays.
I'll do those.
That is.
I'm sorry. Did you say Tuesday? No. Well, no. Let me refer you to my contract.
I spend Tuesdays with my wife. Sorry. And it's like, I didn't know you could do that. Like, that was, and you know what? Good on him. You can do it.
Yeah, not Tuesday after. Well, you know, as you can see, my contract when I first joined here said fully guaranteed. So with that said, I'm not going to be here. So, like, most quarterbacks, ladies and gentlemen, most quarterbacks do take a portion of Tuesday off, whether it's a community event, whether it is time with their family, you know, if they need to you know, get
walk around the neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, like,
It was so wholesome.
And she was like, he's the most gorgeous dog. And I was like, yes, he is. What is happening to me? What is happening? Because I think it was either that moment or somewhere else where I it's a real quote, guys, from our text exchange where I said, my God, I love Cousins in this documentary. Yes,
I know. Yes. Nate's sitting there at home watching it just like, you know, I'm just kind of suddenly feeling the need to mow the yard and maybe straighten out the siding a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Maybe add an extra log on the fire.
Turn
on a movie.
Yeah.
And afterwards, put the kids to bed and read from them the Book of Why by Sports Illustrated. Like, it was so wholesome, guys. Like, it was really nice to watch. My very favorite part, and Jazz's, though. It wasn't, everything with Kirk Cousins was amazing. His family seems great. He seems like a genuinely good dude. That's awesome. They all seem like good dudes.
Yes, yes.
But the when they got home, Mahomes and Brittany, I'm gonna start referring to my first name because like I know them now because I watched a documentary with them. So when Patrick and Brittany got home, and they were going through the garage. And there were all these cardboard boxes of recycling just piled up very messily. And the garage was kind of messy. I was like, oh, they're just like us, guys. And I was just like, my mind was blown. I was like, you know what? I feel a lot better about the state of my garage. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, and this is no offense to Patrick, but if a guy worth $500 million can't keep his garage clean, I think I'm doing okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
I had two Kirk Cousins moments that are, one's very specific to him, and one just sort of brings me back around for the entirety of playing the quarterback position, and then we can, you know, talk about the Chiefs and training camp and DeAndre Hopkins and all that stuff.
I guess
we
could do that, yeah.
I imagine Chris Jones will sign as a contract extension the moment that we email off our files, so I'm not too worried about talking about it just yet, because we're going to make it happen. But the two Kirk Cousins things that really won us over, the one that got Renee immediately, is the fact that he has his little memory palace, or whatever he called it, with all of the memorabilia and the game balls and all of that stuff, with the little nook for a Lombardi trophy.
Yes.
The fact that all of that is behind a bookshelf door, like that is a hidden room, is one, like, pretty cool. Two, genuinely humble in a way that is like he's hiding it, that I don't even know if he thinks about it that way, if he acknowledges, like, you literally are hiding your career from the rest of the world. And also just totally charming. So that was huge. And then also just listening to Kirk Cousins and Nate, you'll see this in Mahomes in the next two episodes, obviously, but really Cousins the most, I think because it was the ribs, listening to him mic'd up, just getting hit and breathing and sounding like a rubber chicken that had the squeaker go out.
Yes.
Where he just spent most of the season
hurt
as a non-terribly mobile quarterback and a guy that has received all of the jokes for mediocrity and all of that. This dude is out there 24/7, broken in half, just constantly. It is just that noise for 8 episodes, and he's tough as hell. Like, if you don't leave quarterback with a refreshed respect for all of the quarterback positions, but the guys that play the quarterback position, and specifically Kirk Cousins, I just feel like you watched it wrong.
Right. He went to Washington and got his you-know-what rocked.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went to Buffalo and he could barely breathe.
Yep.
They won both games.
Yep.
That's football. The most violent thing we have sanctioned among us. We're again, ladies and gentlemen, say it with me. A sport that is the most violent we have sanctioned among us, where the ball isn't round. Yes, say it again.
And that's how the Vikings beat the Bills. I'd forgotten about that game. Honest to goodness.
Great.
I'd forgotten, like, holy crap, he fumbled the snap.
Great game. And changed the trajectory of all three teams. Chiefs, Bills, and Vikings. The last thing I'll say is I know sometimes in life some things happen unfortunate that you can't necessarily predict. Or maybe you had a role in it, but it wasn't ultimately your choice. You know, it's nice to see that the economy is growing, where like more people are earning jobs, and that's great to see. But of course, you know, there's the other side of it where people lose their jobs. And I know the producers at Netflix could not have foreseen this. I'm going to say it really polite. What Marcus Mariota did is fully understandable. What Arthur Smith did is completely understandable.
Mm-hmm.
What you not going to do, and I don't know if I've heard a worse story over the last couple years. If I get the timeline right, you telling me that my wife gave birth to my first child, and then you called me to come into the facility
the next day
to tell me I lost my job?
You can't tell them that over the phone? Like,
hey, we got FaceTime. We got agents. We got Zoom.
And that was like the reason he was in Atlanta, Arthur Smith, I mean.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Arthur, I get it. From management to ownership to investing a third round draft pick. Yeah, it's time to see what this Desmond Ridder's got. But also, can we do this like another, any other day, in any other way? But that's, I love how inhumane and also how football it is.
Yep.
And it's that quick, ladies and gentlemen. It's that quick. No one lost their job in a worse manner that I know than Marcus Mariota of the last, I guess, year and a half. I'm like, yeah, man, why don't you get that knee right. Love on your daughter. They don't need this. You don't need this. What are we doing?
You know, I like the we don't need this thing. It was interesting watching Mariota's story come full circle, right? He'd been the first round pick, and he kind of had seeming on the uptick and then falling down. Well, this was his chance. And then by the end of the season, them almost having, and you haven't gotten quite there yet, Nate. It's almost like an epilogue-y part with him, really. He's a backup again.
Yep.
And that's it. And he talked a bunch early on about, you don't always get second chances in this league. You know what's even rarer than that? Third chances.
Yeah.
But you can be a backup in the league a long time with his experience. We got Blaine Grabbert. We got Chad Henne. We got,
You still got it. You Marcus.
It was just brutal to watch.
Marcus, there's going to come a moment, and I'm very fascinated to see when that moment arrives. You never know when it is because now you're the backup, but I am interested in seeing this. Now, I have seen the clip earlier. I know I'm going to eventually get to it in like the full context of the episode. What I can tell you is I did know for a fact when the Chiefs beat the Jaguars in the divisional round and the following day was Bills versus Bengals. Even before the Burrowhead stuff began, just about everyone that I had talked to in the organization, for selfish reasons, they would not have had to go to Atlanta, which seems wild to think about. And B, for selfish
reasons. Wow, holy crap, man. Sorry, you said Atlanta, and I just had to sit here for a second and go, sorry, did I zone out? No, that game would have been in Atlanta.
The game would have been in Atlanta. And for other selfish reasons, just about every guy that I talked to in the organization, every person I talked to in the organization wanted for them to host the Bengals so that they could get true redemption in the best way possible, even with Patrick's injury. So when Patrick tells, you know, his father and his friends, like, I know we might match up better with Buffalo, but I do want the Bengals. Like, I knew that basically that, like, as soon as that game ended against the Jaguars. And Mahomes was pretty convinced at that point that he was going to play. Now, there are all these little factors that lead to them winning the Super Bowl that I just want to remind people before we start talking about training camp. A, they played the first divisional round game on that Saturday afternoon. I talked to Matt McMullen about this today. So he gets a few additional hours because it's not the Saturday night game. He gets an extra day because they're watching, obviously, Bills Bengals on Sunday. They don't have to travel to Atlanta. So from a training staff standpoint, he got essentially an extra day because they would have had to do even more work with him traveling with a high ankle sprain. And obviously that actually helped them
leading up to the Super Bowl, because obviously you fly the Sunday after the AFC Championship game. You don't go immediately to the Super Bowl site location. All these little things led up to Patrick being as healthy as humanly possible with the most maximum amount of time he had allowed to him, while not having to travel from the end of the Jacksonville game to the start of hosting the Cincinnati Bengals in the AFC Championship game, because the league, and they flip-flop it every year so that there's no, you know, way to really work around it, because the Eagles played the 49ers to start that Sunday slate, and then it was Chiefs-Bengals at night. All those little factors led to them winning the Super Bowl, and you can't forget that. And I just love the idea that, like, a couple of people have told me, like, you're really going to like the last two episodes, because all those little moments, all that time added up to him having the ability to play in that game.
I like it. It also kind of takes away from the idea that he wasn't still hurting, or that he wasn't, you know what I mean? Because you see all that kind of stuff floating around. It was a really, their timing of releasing that really kind of, if you binged it quickly enough, it really was a nice end cap to the summer of the summer slash off season of the Kansas City Chiefs. Because they, you know, obviously they won in 2019 and you know, gestures vaguely at all of 2020.
Yeah.
And it was just different. Whereas this time, I mean, it was everything. It was every type of visit. They were the talk of everything. Mahomes has kind of reached the, like, you've only seen this, like, with Manning at his peak for a year or two and Rodgers at his peak for a year or two, where, like, no one's even bothering to debate it right now. Now, I'm sure Mahomes, you know, if he doesn't throw for 18 touchdowns in the first 3 weeks, I'm sure we'll hear it again once the season starts. But right now, in this moment, no serious people are saying anything other than Patrick Mahomes is the best football player in the world.
Correct.
And it was a nice topper on all that. And now it's like, it really made it feel to me, among other reasons, but like that, like I blinked and it's like, oh, hey, people are talking about Rashee Rice not understanding what an Andy Reid training camp looks like. dude was tired. He didn't know. I really appreciated Jeff Allen quote tweeting about Rashee Rice getting tired. And just saying, like, that's basically some version of, like, welcome to St. Joe and Andy Reid camp. And it's just going to get hotter. A lot.
Yeah. That's the thing. It was a breezy, like, 80 degrees today. and let's just say we need you to run all the routes. All of them. But, coach, I might throw up. Get back out there. Until I see it. Okay. All right. Now. Okay.
All right. He all threw right, up. Someone gave him some Gatorade. Yeah,
now we take a break. Okay. He was being honest with us.
But it was a nice end cap. And then, I don't know. I'm excited now that the new season has started. And it just feels like, because this was the summer of the Chiefs, this was the weirdest offseason I can ever remember in terms of, never really felt like offseason to me. It was all like this 2 month celebration of the Chiefs after the draft and after free agency. And now they start knocking on the door of history this year, because if they repeat this year, now you can start talking about things like the best 5 year stretch in NFL history. You can start you know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of a cool thing to see it just swing right back into play.
It's very cool, and I would love to talk about it with you more, but I'm afraid that if you don't dip right now, a whole bunch of kids are never going to learn about the VeggieTales.
Oh, I have got to. Oh, if only I could rise to the level of Bob and Larry. But I do. I have to go. I have, and I appreciate you segueing me that into that, Josh.
Because I noticed the time. You see it, right?
I do see it now. Okay. I am all 5 right. minutes late. I get to go lead some vacation Bible school games. And so, I don't know, I'm probably just going to be like, you don't look that tired to me yet. I do not see you throwing up. And so, we are going to run this back. We're going to play Cross the Red Sea one more time until someone throws up. But in the meantime, you guys have some fun, and I'll see you soon.
And then the Lord looked to the sky and said, "You woke up the wrong mother." Blip. See you soon.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Poor Max Crosby. I just want to remind people. The Raiders are... This is the Raiders' defensive depth chart. Max Crosby and 10 dudes you can't name right now.
Uh-huh.
Name me another starter who plays on defense for the Las Vegas Raiders. You can't. Don't Google it, ma'am.
Don't Google it.
Max Crosby and who?
A whole bunch of first-round draft picks that John Gruden lit on fire.
Clock's ticking. So what does Max Crosby have to do? I have to win the down, and I have to win after the down.
Yes.
I have to win the down, and then I have to punch him in the hopes that he'll do something crazy. Like, I have to pressure him and say, no, what you... No, I was going for the ball, baby. I was going for the ball. Looks at the replay. Sir, the ball's nowhere near his helmet. I have to do everything to try to stop this man from scoring 30 on us. Looks up at the scoreboard. Mission failed.
His contract's got to be coming up pretty soon, right? Is he gonna get out of there? You know, it would be a real shame there, Max, with two X's, if you decided to maybe, I don't know, stay in the AFC West and then maybe a different team, though. No, he signed. Oh God, he signed in March of 22, 4 years, $94 million. That's all right. Honestly, feels kind of low.
I mean, he's really good.
He's really good.
He's really good.
His money doesn't really start until a little bit this year, then next year. So, yeah, all right, he's doing all right. It's just he's the only defender they have.
Yeah, they score 30 in both games. So I am factually correct. Mission failed.
Yes, mission empirically failed. Look, I'm just going to ask you open-ended as we are here at training camp time.
Uh-huh.
We've mentioned Rashee Rice.
Yep.
Should people care?
Right now?
You might need to set it up. Yeah, right now. No. Right now, should people care that Rashee Rice showed up, looked exhausted, and barfed?
No. Do you remember who barfed last year at the first practice? Do you remember? And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is mostly quarterbacks, because somebody got to throw the football, rookies who need to get acclimated to the Andy Reid camp life, and veterans who are coming back from injury. So, I think there were like 30-something guys today. Like, we don't need to take full attendance, but like, hey, it is the first legitimate practice. Josh, last year, a rookie puked in the end zone. Then he tried to line back up and puked in the end zone again. Do you know which rookie it was last year?
No, I'm going to just go by position and previous training and say Sky Moore?
No, it was Leo Chenault.
Oh, no kidding?
Yes, sir.
Wow. All right. Death row, barf row. I didn't know. I have no memory of that.
This man said, "I love violence." And then violently his stomach was emptied on the first day of camp. And then guess what? He had a great rookie season. He was a dependable reserve. He played awesome in the postseason, in particular the Super Bowl. And look, I bet you he won't barf on Sunday. Here's the thing. No one needs to, like, again, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot thank you enough for your support of this podcast. Training camp don't really start till Sunday. Sunday is the first team practice where all, you know, 91 guys will, you know, expect it to be there. Yes, including Chris Jones. And, you know, that first practice on Sunday will be like the real, you know, it's funny. I wrote about it. God, what day is it? I'm already in camp mode. It was Tuesday. Yeah. It was Tuesday where I wrote that, like, this first week is sort of the soft launch. And then the grand opening is like Sunday. Have I watched Ocean's 13 several times? Really? It's like, you know, 1 minute the pyramid was closed, then it was open. It's a soft launch. When is it open? July 3rd. I watched Ocean's 13 a few times. I love the Ocean's 11, 12, and 13 series. Shout out to Ocean's 8. I see what you're doing out there, Sandra. But yeah, it really doesn't matter until Sunday.
I just want to get in my little movie review and say that Asteroid City, the new Wes Anderson movie, might be the best Wes Anderson movie. I'm really? Saying it. I'm feeling it. I loved it. I adore it.
Holly loves some Wes Anderson. Okay.
I can't believe Holly and I have never talked about Wes Anderson. All right, very good. I've got a whole bunch of Wes Anderson takes that I would be excited to share. But Asteroid City ruled.
Yeah.
Theaters two times.
Ooh, you pulled the me and Hayden where as soon as Spider-Man ended, we were like, we can convince Mom that we can come back here, right? We can do another one.
I didn't get to see the new one in theaters, and I'm mad about it. I totally fumbled that.
But. Oh, man. It was like, what? Hayden was like, so when does the next one come out?
What a time to learn about movies and disappointment and patience.
In trilogies. Hey, even before we get to that, you want to watch it again? It was incredible.
I gotta see it.
It's nice to go back to the movies. Remember those things?
It is. Yes. We've gone to a handful recently. And we're not gonna do it all in one day, but we have Oppenheimer and Barbie plans now. Like we're doing the dang thing. Movies are back, baby.
They are back. By the way, I think Wes Anderson's best film is actually Fantastic Mr. Fox, my first introduction. I know that's a deep cut. Love that movie.
This is crazy. You probably don't know this. Right now in my office where I record this show every time, I have one full-size and one miniature Fantastic Mr. Fox poster.
What?
I will send you a picture of it now.
Please do.
Are you familiar with what my first tattoo was, Nate Taylor?
I know it's animal related.
It is a pine cone on fire from the fictional sport in Fantastic Mr. Fox, a whack bat.
I am now going to watch this movie here real soon.
Dude, it rules. I cannot believe that we haven't had this conversation.
I know, because look, I think the Grand Budapest from beginning to end, fabulous. Moonrise Kingdom, you could write a dissertation about that movie because it's super duper dope. But yeah, in terms of making movies that are very unique, but still have like a progression in terms of styles. Wes Anderson got it, y'all.
People listening for training camp notes right now that are going to be so disappointed. But have you seen Darjeeling Limited?
Oh my God. No, I haven't seen that one.
That one's the one that goes under the radar. The poster, framed and all, one day, the Drake, as we call him, Jason Justice at Sports Radio 810, I don't know how profound my love of this movie must have been, because he was at some thrift store place and he texted me a picture and was like, hey, if you want this, it's here, here, and here. And I got in the car and went to go pick it up because it is like, I'm sure from the original run. And framed and everything. So I don't know what the story of this was before I got it, but it perfectly fits that little spot in my wall over there.
Wow. Wow. But no, I mean, look, today was the first practice. You know, Friday, I guess, is the next important day because that is when the veterans are required to report to training camp. So, you know, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, everybody else, we'll see. Look, I'm sure people are wondering about Chris Jones. There's really no immediate update.
Williams signed since the last show we've done. So that was a domino since the last time ours.
So explain the contract, Josh, and how it relates, because again, one of the funniest things was when that news came out, Josh quote tweeted it with just Chris Jones's face.
His deal ends up being 4 years, $96 million. I think I don't have the number here, but I think it was 66 guaranteed through that.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Or 63 here on Spotrac. But yeah, so he signs the deal, and you know, we had been talking about waiting for the rest of the defensive tackle market to settle in because this offseason has had several of these long term and most, if not all cases, younger defensive end tackle extensions or defensive tackle extensions. And Quinnen Williams was the biggest and final domino to fall, which now gives the Chiefs and Chris Jones a pretty good sized gap, really, between Quinnen Williams at what will be number three and Aaron Donald, which we all assume will be number one. Still a pretty wide array of outcomes that they could kind of fight for in there. I don't know. I've got pretty good vibes off of the latest that we've heard from that whole situation. But like you said, if there's not really anything new, are we closer now post Quinnen Williams contract, you think?
I guess sure. Now I want to provide some context. It was towards the middle of training camp in 2020 or 2021, maybe. I think it was the middle of 2021's training camp where it became apparent to me that the team and Tyrann Mathieu weren't gonna come to a deal before the season opener, which obviously meant that Tyrann Mathieu was playing on the last year of his contract, which meant he was probably going to make it to free agency, which probably meant he probably wasn't going to be on the team in 2022. I don't know if we'll reach that point with Chris Jones because he is their most valuable defensive player. Chris Jones wants to keep rising in terms of his status, not just within the organization, but like, you know, an argument can be made, and I'm sure, you know, Seth somewhere is fist pumping that, you know, an argument can be made that Chris Jones was the best interior pass rusher last year, even with Aaron Donald at the peak of his powers towards the early point of the season last year before he had his injury. Well, now it's time for Chris Jones to sort of prove it again. And if you do that again, that leads to, yes, legitimate defensive player of the year discussions, in particular if the Chiefs have another, you know, stellar regular season in terms of win-loss record. So, you know, I know some people have said, hey, you add 3 years on top of this deal so that, you know, technically it's a 4 year deal. If you wanted to get a little wonky, you could add 4 years on top of this deal. You know, from the very beginning, and I think I was the first person to report this, but from the very beginning, it was clear that Chris and his representation wanted to get as close to Aaron Donald as possible. Even with the long, you know, line of guys who were up for their own extensions. So the Chiefs have, you know, understood that. And now it's time to come to a deal. Logically, I think most Chiefs fans should feel good until August.
Interesting.
And if something happens in August or if something doesn't happen in August, then you can start to, like, him and haw.
Do you expect him to be at camp day one regardless? Or you expect August to be at the end of a long holdout?
I don't think he's going to hold out. What I mean by August is, like, if it's August 1 and he has not agreed to a contract, have not agreed to a contract, then, yeah, then you can him and haw.
Right.
Now, look, we could be recording this on Wednesday, July 19th, and they agree to something on July 20th, and he signs it when he reports on July 21 on Friday. That's one way it could work. But also, I mean, you have some time, I think, really between now and, like, August 1. Because they have, they're not going to go into, like, full pads anytime soon. There's an acclimation process. The CBA, you have to have, like, a ramp-up period of, like, non-padded practices. Obviously, there's a conditioning sort of element to training camp when the full team is here. It's really just a matter of, like, what could be incentive-based in the contract, how you want to structure it over that second and that third year, I think is where you can get into the weeds of it all. And, you know, for everybody's peace of mind, you can say, hey, we've structured it in a way where we can be flexible not only for this year but for next year. And also, you know, we gave you enough guaranteed money that we can spread it out a certain way to where you're at least going to be on the roster the next 3 years. I think that's something where I think both parties can tend to agree to. You know, by then he'll be, what, 31, 32? So it's reasonable, especially given his track record and the work that Aaron Donald has done so far in his career. But I know you asked this earlier, Josh. He has never done a holdout before in his career. So this is Chris going into his eighth season. Obviously, he's, you know, when he was franchise tag, he wasn't with the team for the entire offseason period, but they did get the contract figured out. And then obviously he reported to camp on time. Even when he was entering the last year of his deal going into 2019, he was still reporting to camp on time. So I haven't heard any rumblings that that might not happen this year. So I think the understanding is to either expedite the communication or to be, you know, the professional that he's really always been. My expectation is that he will report to camp on time as of, you know, July 19th.
That's really interesting, regardless of where the contract lands. And for a little more context here on the numbers. So these are all, I'm going by annual average value on these deals, as is at this point the 101 you have to know before you ever listen to anyone talk about NFL contract, is that some of these numbers are a little bit funky because guaranteed numbers, average annual values, taking into account, you know, the year that Tyreek Hill makes $95 million or whatever the last year of his Dolphins contract is. There's some funny money, there's some not, but more or less, because the total value and AAV for these defensive tackles is almost exactly the same guy for guy.
Yep.
So you've got Chris Jones, and then just above him, you've got DeForest Buckner, extra million average, extra $4 million over the course of the deal. Then everyone else from tied with Buckner on total value all the way up through Aaron Donald, all those other defensive tackles that are above Chris Jones that aren't DeForest Buckner and Aaron Donald, all signed this offseason. And it's just funny to look at the game. Total value, Javon Hargrave, $84 million. Dexter Lawrence, $87.5 million. Daron Payne, $90 million. Jeffrey Simmons, $94 million. Quinnen Williams, $96 million. Aaron Donald, $95 million. That's on a three-year deal. The rest of those are four-year deals.
Correct.
So the average annual value numbers are even funnier because it is Chris Jones at the end of his deal on $20 million. Buckner, $21 million. Hargrave, $21 million. Dexter Lawrence, $21.875 million. Daron Payne, $22.5 million. Jeffrey Simmons, $23.5 million. Quinnen Williams, $24 million. And then Aaron Donald, more than $31.5 million. If there's any place here for me to be worried, it is about the gap between Quinnen Williams and Aaron Donald and not being completely sure where they all agree that that's the range, which side of it to be on. But what were you going to say there, Nate?
Right. So the issue is Quinnen Williams is entering the prime of his career. And so
Williams, Simmons, Payne, Lawrence, all 25 years old, all signed as 25-year-olds. I don't know what they'll be, you know, mid-season.
Yeah, right. Like, I think Quinton will turn 26 at some point this season because that's what they have him listed for over the cap. But the interesting thing about him entering his prime is that that's why he got $66 million in total guarantees, courtesy of over the cap, which is $1 million more than Aaron Donald, who is, again, towards the back end of his prime at age 32. Now, this is, you know, all related because Chris is in the middle of his prime, you could argue, at 29. And so the question for Clark Hunt and Brett Veach is, are they willing to match the guaranteed money of $66 million over you know, a 4-year, 3-year sort of, however you want to structure it. Or can they find a compromise with getting closer to, you know, the total value versus giving some of the guaranteed money up so that you can maybe arrange your salary cap over the next 2 years in a way that is, I don't want to say team friendly, but like conducive to like remaining a contender, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yes. I think that is actually a good place to get hung up on trying to get the right word for, because we have completely lost the plot on team friendly deals and hometown discounts and things like that, that just have gotten silly. You know, since that segue is sitting out there right now, some NFL players will sign contracts with lesser teams to make way more money. And that's an okay thing for NFL players to do. But it does happen. And it did happen with DeAndre Hopkins. There are a few things about this that I think are legitimately interesting. Some of it that I think is maybe a little overplayed. I want to know what your feel was for how serious the Chiefs' interest really was with DeAndre Hopkins. And then not just why they, you know, couldn't match the Titans' numbers. I think everyone more or less goes, yeah, it seems like a lot of money. Yep. Makes sense maybe if you're to the Titans. Doesn't really make sense for the Chiefs right now. But I am interested in how you saw that pursuit going, and also why now.
Now, see, if I was advising DeAndre Hopkins, I would have made him wait till sometime in August. I guess from a team standpoint, it's a better, perhaps smoother onboarding process in terms of the playbook, getting to know your coaches, creating chemistry and connection with the quarterback. I get all that. Now, maybe they made a calculation in saying, even if the Chiefs come to an agreement with Chris Jones and there is a little bit more of flexibility with the salary cap, maybe it won't be comparative or close to what the Titans could offer right now. And of course, one of the fascinating things about the Chiefs and DeAndre Hopkins that I don't know was totally clear. Man, this might sound crazy on the front end. Are you ready, Josh?
I am on the edge of my seat.
Was DeAndre Hopkins going to start opening day if he was with the Chiefs?
I'm going to say that he'd be in my starting lineup, but the fact that you asked it and prefaced it the way that you did makes me want to hear why you're asking that question.
So the reason I'm asking that question is when you start piecing it all together, there's not a guarantee that he would have been starting on opening day. Now, I'm not saying in October when he gets even more acclimated, he has even more time with Patrick Mahomes, but like, it's very clear to the Chiefs that they need to see real progress from Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, and they still have a very legitimate deep threat in Marquez Valdes-Scantling. All those dudes have known the system longer. They have played with the quarterback. They have won the Super Bowl as a collective core. There was no guarantee, as wild as it sounds, that DeAndre Hopkins on the day of his arrival, if it had worked out with the Chiefs, that he would have been a guaranteed starter on opening day. I know it sounds a certain way, but we have 10 years of evidence with Andy Reid. Like, Tyreek Hill was not Tyreek Hill, of course, when he joined the team. But all I'm saying is that, like, Andy likes to take his time with receivers. And so if DeAndre, I mean, Jeremy Maclin is probably the best example where it's like, well, you know, but the
team. Well, why would it be different than how Juju operated last year? I can't remember what the timeline of his signing was, but that's like, he's an outlier for sure.
He is an outlier, yes. And he had such a connection with Patrick, but again, that goes all the way back to when he signed and he started working with Patrick pretty immediately. Yeah. And of course, there hasn't really been a case because the team just doesn't usually operate in this way. And I think that's also a part of this. The team really doesn't sign a receiver like at the start of camp and then that player start on opening day. Even for someone like Carlos Dunlap, they still chose to start George Karloftis over Carlos Dunlap. Now, it's a different position. It's a different, you know, unit. But I do get the sense that, like, DeAndre would have had to have earned a starting spot when, again, they want to see Sky Moore, You already drafted Rashee Rice. You have, you know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and you have Kadarius Toney when they really believe, and I've written this all offseason, that Kadarius Toney is their number one receiver. And based on the investment they already made and the fact that he's on a rookie contract, they need to see if Kadarius Toney can be a number one receiver from beginning to, you know, whatever, when, however long the season is, you know, in the postseason. So again, I know it sounds wild, but when you look at it really, you know, based on all the information we have, based on the track record, it would have been tough for DeAndre Hopkins to just immediately just be put in as like wide receiver two or even wide receiver one, because it's really hard to be a receiver when you're new into the Andy Reid system.
It is really interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah. Now, when you look at the nuts and bolts, the Chiefs have the least amount of money available to them from a salary cap space per over the cap. It would have taken Chris Jones to agree to a deal. And yes, let's say it gives them $8-9 million of wiggle room. The Chiefs weren't going to give all of that to DeAndre Hopkins. The Chiefs like to use a little bit of money in the event that they make a trade during the season. So just keep that in mind as well. And based on the way the Chiefs have operated, similar to Juju's deal last season, it may have been a one-year incentivized deal where, like, you're going to have to earn some of that money based on production. So all those factors, again, maybe DeAndre and his representation figured that out already in terms of the calculation of, like, hey, if the Chiefs aren't really an option and this team isn't really an option and, you know, the Ravens already signed Odell Beckham, the Titans are the most desperate team and they have the available cap space, and then you can immediately start for them, because have you seen their depth chart? My goodness.
I don't know. You probably saw this, but if you didn't, I'll ask the audience. And if you know, you can also reveal the answer. Do you know who on the Titans had the most career touchdown catches before they signed DeAndre Hopkins?
Don't say it. It's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt, ain't it? Go ahead and tell me, Josh.
Mike Vrabel.
Unbelievable.
Mike Vrabel, a former linebacker with one incredible trick on offense, led the Titans in career touchdown receptions before they signed DeAndre Hopkins. It's one of the most alarming things I've ever seen on Twitter.
Here is the, if you're just wondering at home, if you need some fantasy advice, take DeAndre Hopkins higher than you think, guys.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Because it's Treylon Burks, former first-round draft pick, supposed to be the next A.J. Brown. Good luck.
Good luck.
Kyle Phillips, Chris Moore, Colton Dole, Reggie Robertson Jr., Jacob Copeland, Trajan Harrison.
Playing the game of which one of those guys isn't a real actual NFL player, I'm going to say it was that second to last guy. I think I think that's where you try to throw us off. Oh, those are all real? Oh, my God.
Trayshawn Harrison?
No. Before him?
Racy McMath?
McMath. McMath is you making up a name on the spot. That's my guess.
Mason Kinsley?
Mason Kinsley isn't real.
Nick Westbrook? I ain't even going to say the last part because I don't want to disrespect your family like this.
I've seen him play football before.
Yes, I have seen him play football before.
That's something.
He is a legitimate NFL player. He has 3 touchdowns last season. Yes. But look, you know, DeAndre, get them targets up.
So with all of that being said, I end up in this really bizarre place with the Chiefs receivers right now where I am absolutely electrified to watch Kadarius Toney this year. It was not on purpose. I can't wait to watch Kadarius Toney. I am hopeful about Sky Moore, but I don't know what, like, him taking over really looks like. That just might be a kind of a skill set thing. I don't know. We'll see. But and I think we've got a pretty good feel for what MVS can be on a regular basis, which is some irregularity, but, like, there's good stuff to be had there. I like Rashee Rice, but, you know, rookie wide receiver, Andy Reid offense and all of that. I thought the Richie James signing was a good idea. I am, you know, leading the Justin Ross hype train.
Yep.
I like all of, I like the upside of like every single dude on the depth chart. The downside of pretty much every dude on the depth chart really scares me, because it, one or two bad turns and the offense just gets a lot harder to win with. I mean, to thrive, to get it to thrive.
Well,
Patrick Mahomes could probably make.
Yeah. Or to be like a top five offense. Yes.
Right. Patrick Mahomes, I think, could throw to Yumi and Seth, and the Chiefs would make the playoffs and would have, you know, a functional offense, because we would somehow be open because Andy Reid.
Like, yes, there's sure.
But I don't want that to be, and I don't think that's the plan by any means. The Chiefs have continued to draft receivers now also. Like, there's a pattern here. They've invested. Yeah. They were going to pay Tyreek Hill. They've got Travis Kelce still. But I'm not saying they're like hurtling towards the Aaron Rodgers Packers path. I don't think that at all. But I don't love going in with nothing but question marks. And I guess MVS. And maybe that's good enough. But I'm a little bit unsettled while simultaneously being excited. It's a very conflicted sort of cognitive dissonance that I feel every time I look at the Chiefs receiving depth chart.
Yeah, well, I mean, and also too, like, they're valuing youth at this point when it comes to Sky Moore, Rashee Rice, and Kadarius Toney.
And I genuinely like that too. I think that's a good strategy.
Yeah, all on rookie contracts. So again, they gotta, you know, see what they have. And again, you want those years of experience to sort of, again, keep you ahead of the pack when your offense is trying to anticipate what other teams might do to you this upcoming season, because you were the Super Bowl champions, because they have your film to look at. And so the continuity of the roster and the trust that, you know, fans should have in Andy Reid and even Matt Nagy being on the staff last year before he was elevated to offensive coordinator, that should all help the team, you know, again, stay potent, stay effective. And I mean, something that Brett Veach really hasn't done outside of like Josh Gordon is take on a receiver who's, you know, past the age of 30 and give them, you know, significant amounts of money.
Yeah. And Josh Gordon wasn't a significant amount of money, whatever that ended up. I can't remember what the numbers were, but no, it would have been out of character. And I like the youth movement and I like the specific guys they have in that group. And yet I am a little uneasy. I mean, maybe just remembering that Travis Kelce exists is the best way to, you know, ease any concern there. But it's going to be fascinating. And for me, I think it's the top thing that I'm excited to see more from in camp. We need to wrap up here, I know. But if you want to give one or two things, you've got a whole, by the way, Seth and Nate have both been writing at exorbitant paces. So you can read all of Seth's work up in the Chief of the North newsletter, mnchiefsfan.substack.com. And of course, Nate's work here on theathletic.com. But when you look at those storylines, maybe even a place to just sort of point the eyes of people listening now who will be up in St. Joe before we do our next episode, which, by the way, we're going to have to play it by ear a little bit. Training camp is a crazy time with schedules and everything. So PSA, we're going to keep something relatively consistent that may not be the same date and time every week. So PSA there. But with that in mind, what else are you looking at right now? What else should people be looking at when they make the trek up to St. Joe?
Yeah, it's receivers, what we talked about earlier. You know, I'm really interested to see how Felix handles, you know, sort of the first round, you know, defensive end at camp, because we saw what it was like last year for George Karlaftis. So there's a little bit of an easier compare contrast from a year ago. I think Brian Cook will be interesting, you know, second year safety, you know, projected starter, see where he is with Justin Reid. And I know it gets, again, you should never take it for granted, because again, this is as close as you can get to the team for a month before obviously they play regular season games. But even today, and I know the Chiefs have put the video out, because I mean, of course you would. But there are just days where, like,
the ball's in the middle in the air, and I just say, no, no. And yeah, and that was my reaction with the ball midair when Patrick, you know, scrambled to his right on the run, just in the bucket, you know, to an undrafted rookie who, you know,
wearing 27, which I thought for sure was going to be a running back until I saw this.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, if you want to see excellence up close, if you want to see the most talented passer in the league right now, he's practicing in St. Joseph, Missouri, which is a crazy thing to say. And he's also living right now in a dorm. Also a crazy thing to say. And he's doing all of this while making millions of dollars, which is also funny.
All while having two little kids at home in this castle that he's built.
Yep.
While he's living in a dorm.
While he's living in a dorm in a bed that is not his own. And yeah, it's quite archaic. And yet here we are in our Lord's 2023, still doing it like Remember the Titans.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.